What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. Now, today on Everyday Black History, we are still in Hispanic Heritage Month. So we're still honoring our brothers and sisters of who are Latinos of African descent. And since Hispanic Heritage Month ends in on the 15th, we're going to do a few episodes this week just honoring our brothers and sisters in the Afro-Latino community, and just for their accomplishments and what they contribute to our culture, as we are all, you know, we all come from the motherland. I mean, and of course, I don't have to, you know, just, you know, honor our Afro-Latino brothers and sisters just at this point in time between September 15th and October 15th. I can do it anytime, and I will. But I figure since it is, you know, Hispanic Heritage Month, why not? So today, we're going to talk about a man by the name of Juan Gomez. And Juan Gomez was an Afro-Cuban revolutionary leader in the Cuban War of Independence against Spain. And he worked with another revolutionary by the name of José Martí. And they helped to plan the uprising and unite the island's black population behind their rebellion for independence. Juan Gomez was an activist for independence. He was also a journalist who worked on and later founded several pro-racial equality newspapers. And he also authored many works and books on liberty and racial justice and on Latin America as well. He was considered a journalist politician. And he defended the revolution against racism and U.S. imperialism, and he upheld his and José Martí's legacy in freedom and equality and throughout his life. He also was a representative and senator in the Cuban legislature as well, and he is remembered as the most conspicuous Afro-Cuban activist leader of the 1890s. Independent struggle and one of the revolution's great ideologues. Now, he was born in July 12, 1854, and he was born on a sugar plantation in Cuba owned by Catalina Gomez. His parents, Fernan Gomez and Serafina Ferra, were African slaves, but they managed to buy the freedom of their child Juan before birth in accordance with the law at the time of the land. His status as a free man allowed him to learn to read and write, and because he had literacy skills, which was rare during that time for anybody of African descent to be able to read and write, you know, on plantations during slavery times, you know, he was able to get a good education and go to a school by the name of Our Lady of the Forsaken, which was a good school because it was expensive. And even though it was a financial sacrifice for his parents, because he had education, they sent him there. Now, after war broke out in the 1860s, a war by the name of the 10 Years' War. Man, you got airplanes passing by, man. But anyway, the war known as the 10 Years' War broke out in 1868. And during that time, since it was a climate of violence and intimidation on the island, Juan Gomez was sent to live in France. His parents sent him to France to get him away from all the violence that was going on. And with financial help from the plantation owner, they were able to send him out to France to go to school. And he was able to study the craft of building horse carriages, which is one of the few trades that anyone who was black or of mixed race can learn during the colonial period. And because he did well as an apprentice, it led him to study at engineering school. Now, in the 1870s, while he was in Paris, two men, Francisco Vicente Aguilera and General Manuel de Quesada, they arrived in Paris to raise funds for Cuban independence. And when they needed a translator, Juan Gomez was hired, and this was his first connection that he made professionally. And as things got more difficult in France, you know, during that time, he faced economic difficulties as well, and so did his parents. And so they couldn't afford to pay for him out in Paris, so they told him to come home. And since he didn't want to go home at the time, he just took low-paying jobs in newspapers, in which he became a reporter. And he even suspended his studies in school and began work as a journalist, and that was the beginning of his journalistic career. And as a journalist, he wrote news items and editorials and started to engage a lot in politics and his journalism. And he became a political personality because through his journalism. And as a debater, a journalist, and a public speaker, you know, he became a political personality because of his views. It was at 1878 when he finally returned to Cuba, when he met an abolitionist by the name of Nicolas Escarate. Escarate, who was a Cuban exile, and when he learned of the defeat of the independent forces in Cuba at the end of the 10 Years War, that's when he returned home. Him and many other exiles, went back to Cuba. And so when he returned home is when he met Jose Marti, which became a close collaborator of his, and a lifelong friendship was founded because they had shared ideals, and their shared ideals activated the revolutionary in the both of them. And they began conspiring in preparation of an uprising. And they became secretary of various revolutionary groups in Havana. And Juan Gomez started a pro-racial justice newspaper called The Brotherhood, in which he advocated for racial equality for Black Cubans and as well as mixed race Cubans as well. After some time, because the newspaper was halted because he was deported to Spain as a plotter, and he spent some time in Spain, and even out there he still wrote for many publications such as Tribuna and Abolitionism. He was still writing for publications and spreading his views on independence and racial equality and racial justice. But the thing about it was that, even though they was able to get everybody together, and even they were able to hatch plots and to orchestrate, revolt, and even armed rebellion, armed uprising against, the Spanish authorities, they didn't have a lot of support from the masses. So a lot of their uprising or attempts at insurrection were always failed attempts. And so eventually the Spanish forces captured Juan Gomez and sentenced him to 20 years in the dungeons in Valencia. But he only spent 3 years in prison, after which he moved to New York City and continued his work in revolutionary causes, such as going to Washington, D.C. to negotiate for funds for the Cuban Liberation Army and recognition of the rebels. Throughout the years, in the early 20th century, when the United States' second military intervention, and during that time, he was a member of the Committee of Consultations, which was an advisory committee that was charged with amending the Cuban Constitution, and he also held many seats in the government as well. As we talked about earlier, he held seats in the Cuban House of Representatives and in the Senate. The Cuban House of Representatives was from 1914 to 1917, and then he held a seat in the Senate from 1917 to 1925 from the province of Havana. And he always campaigned, whenever he did his campaigns, he always campaigned to defend Afro-Cubans from discrimination, oppression, and violence. But he was very active, even, later years of his life, he was active in always equality for Black Cubans in Cuba. Now, the thing about him was one of the most, important things about him was the fact that he always fought for equality for Blacks in Cuba. Throughout the 10 Years War and even after, Spain sought with considerable success to divide Cubans along racial lines by portraying itself as the defender of white civilization against Blacks, who would plunge Cuba into a Haiti-type slave revolt and Africanize the island if they weren't suppressed. And the authorities, the colonial authorities, fanned those flames to, you know, get people to, you know, divided on those racial lines. And, you know, Juan Gomez always knew that one of the most important issues that Cubans had to resolve in order to unite and earn their independence from Spain was the problem of racism on the island. And so it wasn't, and he felt that it wasn't enough to just abolish slavery. They also must abolish prejudice and public discrimination if they wanted to unite Afro-Cubans behind the cause of independence. That's his words. And, you know, when he returned to Cuba in the late 1870s, he began as a grassroots activist, you know, fighting not only for Cuban independence, but as you mentioned, racial equality. And his newspaper, The Brotherhood, its debut banner was the General Journal for the Defense of the Colored Race in Cuba. And in his newspaper, The Brotherhood, he presented examples and pleas against the abuses and discrimination that was suffered by blacks and mulattoes in Cuba. And one article, it reminded the readers, and it says, and I quote, "Yesterday we were slaves, today we are free. We want to participate in life, claim our rights. We want consideration and respect," end quote. And, you know, in his newspaper, he reported on living conditions and the concerns and worries of the black population, and even published letters from people of color who wrote in about their misfortunes and experiences. And throughout this newspaper, he was able to gain followers across the island and was recognized as Cuba's first true spokesman and defender of black people. He was a prominent advocate for black veterans as well, black veterans who fought in the War of Independence. He fought for them to get public benefits and recognition. And, you know, during that time, combat service in Cuba, it allowed the Afro-Cubans a new and distinct form of claiming the rights of citizenship. And through the advocacy of groups like the Committee of Veterans and Association of the Colored Race, black veterans of the Cuban Liberation Army were declared war heroes, and they were able to invoke their status as freedom fighters and citizen soldiers in demanding voting rights, anti-discrimination measures, and civil service jobs in the new government. And, you know, Juan Gomez always urged his opponents, he always urged people who was against, you know, what they wanted to yield to their demands for compensation and just treatment. And he was always quoted as saying, "So that we do not forget the sacrifices of the petitioners in the very recent revolutionary past, a time when skin color was of no importance, but quality and individual virtues were of great importance." He was, as mentioned, considered the most notable Afro-Cuban leader in the island, especially by the 1890s, when he presided over the Central Directorate of Societies of the Colored Race, and he began publishing another newspaper. The Central Directorate brought together 100 black organizations, which waged a successful civil rights campaign, gaining Spanish colonial edicts, outlawing restrictions on interracial marriage, as well as ending government segregations of schools and other public facilities. They were a pivotal role in the fight for racial equality. And he also gained Afro-Cuban activists important organizational and political experience, which were tools that facilitated black political involvement and influence for generations. Now, the sad thing was that even though they were successful in getting these, you know, Spanish colonial edicts and fighting for equality for, you know, Afro-Cubans on the island, a lot of the people in the towns and villages, they still continued with their racist practices. You know, they had the separate but equal areas, you know, where they were, you know, blacks only parts of the park and whites only parts of the park. So they were still doing that in Cuba. And as a result, most politically active Afro-Cubans remained committed to breaking away from the Spanish government. And, you know, when more war broke out, the bulk of the activist groups that were under the Central Directorate that Juan Gomez was the head of, shut their doors, and their members took up arms and for the revolutionary and even left their communities to fight for the revolution. Even after the Cuban independence was secured, anti-discrimination progress was more of a symbolic thing. And there was a lot of pressure during this time for an independent political party for Afro-Cubans. Now, Juan Gomez lost a lot of support from Afro-Cubans because he was opposed to the formation of a black party. And this was a position that he held throughout, his whole political life. Even despite the stance being controversial amongst, the Afro-Cubans on the island. So he lost a lot of support from the Afro-Cubans, and it actually hurt him, in the end, because then people started to, look at him and say that he was someone who was blocking, progress. He was looked at someone who was blocking progress. Him and another man, Martin Delgado, the two most prominent black Cuban congressmen at the time, they were opposed to this black political party at the time. And a lot of people, went down as being quoted as calling them out because of this. And, one man said, Juan Gomez and Martin Delgado, the most prominent black Cuban congressman at the time, opposed the movement from the beginning and used Cuba's supposed history of racial harmony as a justification to put down the independentes. The independientes. I'm going to say that right. So, most Cuban politicians of Juan Gomez's era, both black and white, opposed the development of this independent black political party because they were anxious that it would erode some of the power and popular base and upset the balance that they spent years in building. People have, I guess people who know history on Cuba will have different views on this party, which was called the Independent Colored Party, which was founded without Juan Gomez's backing. But, people who know about Cuba's history would have different, views on this party or whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. But I'm not going to be the one to speak on it. But I'm just talking about, Juan Gomez's contribution to black history as being someone who fought for racial equality for the Afro-Cubans and mixed race, Cubans in Cuba during his lifetime. He died on March 5th, 1933 at 78 years old, and his legacy lives on. There's an airport that's named in his honor, and there's also an annual prize that bears his name. The Union of Journalists of Cuba established a prize that bears his name. So his legacy, definitely lives on to this day of what he, accomplished and what he did for fighting for racial justice and racial equality and the independence of Cuba from Spanish rule. He authored numerous Spanish language works, and some of them, known as The Cuban Question in 1884, and The Island of Puerto Rico in 1891, the Marianas and Caroline Islands in 1885. So he was definitely a prolific writer during his time, and wrote many books and many articles, especially since he ran several newspapers throughout his life. But Juan Gomez, we thank you for your contribution to black history and black culture, and we salute you. And that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. As usual, we still on YouTube. We have the YouTube channel Everyday Black History, in which we have videos in which we talk about black history, and so you can also check us out there, as well as just wherever you get your podcasts. But we'll be coming at you again this week, as we have more people that we'll be highlighting as we close out Hispanic Heritage Month. So I'll be coming at you again with another episode, probably Wednesday or Thursday, with another episode of Black history, black culture. So stay tuned for the next one.